Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes with an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Curry with five on the shot clock. Deep three. Got it!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ka-ching and Thunder Moneyball. Gilgeous Alexander and Holman collaborate.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If we could just complete a pass, it would look good.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Rams head coach Sean McVay. Coming up, comedian Tom Papa. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Can confirm that. Welcome to hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Just had a nice chat with Tom Papa, our third hour guest in studio coming up shortly. He hasn't been here in a while. He showed me a photograph. Talk about small world. The comedian who opens for him on his tour is the sports anchor who got my job after I left it to go to ESPN at KRCR-TV in Redding, California.
Crazy.
Talk about small
world.
That's
incredible.
Yeah, I know. So we'll talk about that. And, of course, his Grateful Bread tour and everything else that's going on with Tom Papa. But joining us top of hour number three is one of my favorites. And I'm not just saying that because he's potentially listening to me to introduce him. on his bye week, kind enough to join us is Sean McVay, head coach of the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes, sir.
Coach.
There he is.
How are you,
What's
man?
What's up, Rich?
How are you, pal? How's it going?
I'm good. I'm just sitting in my kitchen right now, so I got a nice little, I don't know what this is behind me, but it looks like it's going to grow on me any second.
Yeah.
It's so like a living wall.
Wait a minute, that doesn't mean you're not in charge of what's on the walls in your house, or you have a little say, or you just leave
I
it?
I have no say. Zero say. Sean, I am certainly not the head coach at my own house, and I'm more than happy to accept that.
Me too. There's one item in my house. One item in my house. It's a chair that I brought to the relationship 25 years ago, Sean. Okay?
You know, that's Old Faithful.
That's what I mean. You know what I mean? Everything else is just, I have nothing to do with it. I'm just a resident. You know what I mean? So I'm with you. I'm with you.
I do know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Well, it's good to see you, man. First things first, you know, about the London game, the conversation around your plan to, you know what, stay on the East Coast after playing the Ravens, work out in Camden Yards, and then show up the day before the game, there was a lot of questions about, like, if that's the right thing to do, and you guys crushed it. I'm wondering, have you already gotten calls from other East Coast teams about giving them your information about sleep and planning so they can copycat what you just did, Sean?
I didn't realize what a big deal was made of it until after the game, you know, but here's what I would say is I have a ton of trust in Reggie Scott, our group behind the scenes that is responsible for sports performance and really trying to understand how do we make this not as much of a big deal for our players where we can try to keep a normal rhythm and routine, even though you're staying in Baltimore. But what we have been accustomed to when we're kicking off at 2:30 in London is going from the East or from the West Coast to East Coast, kicking out off at 10 a.m. in our body clocks. So what we did was we basically just adjusted and said, all right, let's get acclimated to the East Coast. And because they kick off at 2:30, it's a 3.5 hour time difference. And so it's very similar to things that we had done.
Yeah.
And ultimately it's about our players. They handled it like studs, but I have gotten, you know, hit up about it and I'm not going to tell them anything.
I was about to say, man. I was about to say, because this is a copycat league. And, you know, I've done all these London games and everyone's like, we're going to get there first thing, or we're not going to get there until 2 days before. And you're the first to basically say, you know what, we're going to hang on the East Coast the entire week, and then we're just going to fly in for the game, sleep and play and go home. And
like a special ops. We were just in and out before you knew it.
You were like Ocean's 11, and your 11 were, you know, on each side of the ball, man. You know, flew over the ocean was the Atlantic, and the 11 was on either side of the ball for you, man. And it worked out. And Stafford is just unbelievable. I can't believe this was a guy who had back pain in the summer that made people think he might not answer a bell. He's been maybe the best he's ever been. What's it been like from your perspective?
He's been awesome. You know what's funny is he was telling me before the game that a couple of the coaches on the other staff said, yeah, that was really nice of Sean to basically fake a back injury for you so that you could just miss camp. He's like, what the hell are you talking about? The back injury was real. You know, I think there's this narrative that we were just faking it because he's played so well. He's been awesome, though, Rich. I think the first thing I would say is he's done a great job of taking care of himself. He is feeling good, but he's in total command. And this guy enjoys the game. He certainly doesn't have to be playing. He enjoys his teammates. He enjoys competing. I think he's seeing the field really well. I don't think there's ever been a time that there's more multiple looks that defenses are presenting than what we've seen over the last year. And that's a credit to just the, you know, the volume that people are carrying and how hard it is to get a beat on what they're doing. But to be 17-2, touchdowns, the picks, and he's really had a lot of plays where, you know, they're not turnover worthy. So, I mean, that's a real stat. Sometimes you can see guys get away with that, but he's a stud. And I'm certainly grateful, and I'm going to cherish every moment for however long he wants to play. But I don't take for granted how lucky I am to be able to coach a guy like him.
Well, we had Davante Adams in our broadcast meeting Zoom after we chatted with you last week, Sean, and he told Kurt Warner that Rodgers is the quarterback with the best arm he's ever had, but he said that Stafford's superpower, the best he's ever seen it, manipulating a defense with his eyes, with his mannerisms. What have you seen on that front that you could sort of add to that?
He's incredible. Well, he's the best in both for what I've been around, and he's just so special. I think he's so smart. I think that's the one thing, and you and I have talked about this before, Rich. He's obviously, you know, well respected for this gunslinger, this tough competitor. He takes hits, he gets up. You know, but he's so smart. I think that's the one thing. People don't realize how hard he works at it, how he's accumulated this knowledge of inventory that he's able to replicate from years. But he'll be the first to tell you, when he first started, you know, there's so many ways that Calvin Johnson was getting doubled in creative ways that coverage contours played out. And he wants to throw to him, and they know it. And I've got to figure out a way to be able to do that when there's usually two or three people paying attention to him. And I think a lot of the manipulation of coverage and understanding how to move people opposite of where you're trying to get them to go was foundationally started from him and Calvin playing together. But I think that's an athletic intuition that he has that's pretty unique and special. And it's a credit to him. And I remember Mahomes, you know, mentioning to me when I saw him the balls that he had to be able to bring that out. It's one thing to do it when you got the games in hand, but to do it in crunch time on a game-winning drive to win the Super Bowl, and now it's kind of been old hat, and he has fun with it, and everybody knows he's doing it, and he still finds a way to be able to get people to move to where he wants. He's special.
What's your collaboration with him like, coming up with a game plan? What's that like?
Well, I'll tell you what, we went to, it's really, what do you like? And that's what we're going to do. But we went to do a walkthrough at Wembley. And, you know, obviously the Jags go play there, but, you know, you got people with Jags t-shirts on and, you know, I think Gladstone might've been in the upper deck suites when we were walking through on Saturday. So I told the players, I said, you know, we're not going to do much stuff here. This just feels a little weird. I said, why don't you make up a cool play? Make up a cool trick play, Matthew. He makes up a trick play in about 10 seconds, and I'm thinking to myself, Rich, shows you really what an idiot I am. That would have taken me 8 hours to come up with on a Tuesday. He comes up with it in 10 seconds. I'm thinking, man, I really don't know what my value is here when we've got a guy like him, but it truly is a collaboration. He just has such a capacity and an understanding and an ownership of what we're trying to get done. He can watch film and say, these are the types of spots or areas we want to get to. And when you have a guy like that, he can get you in and out of stuff. He obviously has the autonomy to be able to get in and out of different looks at all times based on the different situations that arise. And I don't take for granted how lucky I am to have somebody that when you make a decision that's not necessarily right, he can make it right with the autonomy and ownership he has and his ability to be able to get it communicated to his other 10 teammates in real time.
Well, I'd have my host card taken away if I didn't follow up. Is that now in your playbook, that thing
Damn
that he
right.
drew up?
It might show up, you know, in a theater near you, because I thought to myself, that's actually a pretty damn good idea. So we might have to implement this one.
All right. So if there's a trick play at any point during the rest of this season, I need to sit there and think, is that what Stafford came up whole cloth and Wembley?
I'll shoot you a text and say, okay, that's the one. Give him his proper give him his proper credit.
Okay. Fantastic. Sean McVay here on the Rich Eisen Show. Also in that broadcast meeting with you, you talked about how Puka Nacua being out was going to be a challenge for you and your staff, about how you maybe became a little bit Puka dependent because he's so damn good. And
yep,
you then have 10 different guys catch a football in this game, including two rookies for touchdowns. First time in 5 years, the Rams had that. So did you check the box? Did you accomplish what you wanted?
I think it was really cool. I think what ended up happening is sometimes these things that are challenges can be blessings in disguise. And what I mean by that is we're always going to have Puka when he's up as a focal point. But also, hey, let's not in the meantime lose sight of, you know, we've got Puka, we've got Devontae, but we've got these other eligibles that we want to take advantage of. And, you know, my dad's talked to me about this before. You know, we always talk about everybody likes being a part of something bigger than themselves. But as long as they feel like their role contributes, and we've got these great players that we want to take advantage of. And I thought that was illustrated by being able to have multiple personnel groupings, multiple guys involved where they've got some plays where they could maybe be the primary in a progression. And then it allows those other guys to be a little bit fresher. Devontae was outstanding with the targets he had, but I also think it's a credit to, hey, he was able to get maybe some snaps off. Otherwise, it'll be the same thing reflected with Puka moving forward. And I was really happy for the guys. And I thought Matthew did a great job of basically just being a great point guard, getting everybody involved, going where the ball should go. And to have that many people involved is a real credit to the depth of our players that we do have, and I'm excited about that moving forward.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, you also told a story about Jared Verse first 2 weeks, maybe thinking a little bit more than just being natural, and you showed him some footage of last year, right? And
absolutely
right. And your point in that was what? With him.
Here's the point. I think sometimes when you're a young guy and you have all this success, you feel like you have to reimagine and really kind of add layers to your game. And in the midst of that, you can almost forget about what allowed you to be you in the first place. That's natural. And the way that you work, there'll be just a natural progression. And so it's all with the right intentions. But I think sometimes it's, hey, remember who you are. Let's see you doing the things that are in alignment with who you need to be. You don't need to make things up. You don't need to add all these different things to your game. Let's understand what makes you great. What are the things that have naturally occurred just based on your work ethic and your approach? And I think sometimes seeing is more powerful than anything we could say. We sat down, we were able to watch some great examples of stuff that he's done at a high clip. And I think it's getting back to, no, don't press, you know, every single snap, 4 to 6 seconds, man, go do your thing and play to the best of your ability, your pre-snap demeanor, the way that you violently attack based on whatever that call is. And he's done an awesome job. He's such a likable guy. You know, when he comes on here, you can see he's got this personality. He never shuts up, but that's who he is all the time. And you love him for that. And I've been really proud of the way that he's responded. He's so coachable. He's so accountable. And he is a great challenge because of how smart he is. But he's really played at a high clip. I think he and Byron Young have really done an outstanding job overall, Rich. And I thought you felt that. And it was, I told him, I said, why are you waiting so long to get that sack out of the way? Why don't you just do it like you did in the Jags game every single game?
Yeah, I know. He first set of downs, he did it. And by the way, since that film session with you, a sack in every single game, including a forced fumble in three of them. And I'm glad you brought up Byron Young. I was about to as well. He's the one who's tied with Brian Burns for the most sacks in the league. What about this kid? He doesn't get a lot of run or discussion. He's in year three, another less need hitting on a draft choice with you guys. What about him? I don't know much about him. Sean.
Yeah, he's a special player. He's a special human. You know, I think Joe Caniglio does such a great job with that group overall, Rich. But But really, you know, when you look at the edges, our defense, you know, with Byron and with Jared, I think they play off of one another. They're like the Bash brothers. They're always together. But I think there's a good complement. You know, Jared is, they're both really physical players, but BY has this great set of athleticism. I mean, he's a legitimate 4-4 guy. He can, you know, he's got an understanding of where does he fit within some of the different movements. And I think we're really rushing four as one, or if we're sending more. And he's just made the most of his opportunities. I think he's played consistent. Like, he's gotten those sacks, but he's playing really productive in both phases, to stop the run, to rush the passer. He does some different things when he drops into coverage based on some simulated pressures or overloads that we'll bring. And he is, he's really played consistent. And he's one of those guys that when you spend time with him, you can't help but love him. And really, I feel that way about both he and Verse.
All right. So in a couple minutes I have left with you, Sean, I know you don't, you know, you don't have time to sort of self-reflect here. But I'll try it anyway with you, because one of the things we had as a graphic on a screen of the broadcast during the game in London was, you know, obviously Liam Cohen from your staff. He's under 40. You're 39. And we had a list of the five youngest coaches in the NFL. You're still on that list. The other four, though, were in either year one or year two. You're in year nine. You're in year nine. So it is crazy. But so how do you still like it? I mean, obviously, I know you're really energetic, and you know you got that smile there. But you know, year nine, you can burn out. I mean, John Madden's that perfect example in that regard. You know what I mean? But how are you handling that?
I'll tell you what, I think there's been some times, Rich, that, you know, and we've talked about that I went through, where you lose perspective. You know, you come in and you're so young and you have that unobstructed mind. You don't even know the things to worry about. It's just such a blessing. You know, you're able to have, be a part of some teams that did some really cool stuff. And then in the midst of that journey, you can almost lose sight of it, and you can get caught up in, hey, this is about being transformational, not transactional. I do think that, you know, me having a family, and, you know, you're continuing to mature and grow just as a man. When you get hired at 30 years old, I made a ton of mistakes. There's been some things that you want to replicate, but I think I have a healthier perspective on what a blessing this is and how much I love this game and how many blessings it's brought me. But most importantly, the people that I've been able to develop relationships in the midst of this journey, the impact that you want to make. Yeah, and I talk to our team about this all the time. We try to say all the time, hey, let's be grateful, let's be present, and let's keep doing hard things. And that's what the NFL entails. I love this job, but most importantly, I love the people that I'm doing it with. I love these players. I love the coaches. I love working with Les Snead going into year nine. I love working with Tony Pastores and Kevin Demoff. I love working for Stan Kroenke and Josh Kroenke. And I really do love it. I think there was moments when I got a little bit misguided, and I wasn't the person that I want to be. And I still have moments all the time that I mess up. But there's a much more of a healthier perspective and appreciation for what this job is. And I don't take for granted how lucky I am to be into year nine, and to continue to really love what you're doing and to feel like there's a real purpose based on the relationships that are built in that journey. And, you know, it's a lot more fun winning those games. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of cool stuff that I think I have a better perspective and appreciation for that maybe I didn't cherish as much in the earlier years. And sometimes some of the success we had early on, I think, made me lose that perspective.
How old is Jordan John McKay right now, Sean?
You know what? Jordan John turns 2 years old on the 24th this week. Okay, big man. Birthday. Got trucks. Oh. We got dinos. It's going to be a big day at the McKay household.
Dinos.
Yeah.
Dinos, huh? Okay.
That's right.
He's two. Bouncy house? We got a bouncy house going on?
Oh, we'll have a bounce house. I think Dad will be in there more than Jordan.
Be careful,
it'll
man.
It'll be great.
Didn't you hurt your foot? You got to be careful in that bouncy house.
Hey,
you gotta be careful.
I'm like Hulk. I heal quick.
I should know that. Is that why, last thing for you, because I noticed these things. You're in the rain. Put up the photograph. I was just so impressed that the hair is staying. I mean, in the rain for 3.5 hours and the headset. But what is that pomade made out of, man? Cement?
Kevin O'Connell, when we played the Niners last year on Thursday night, yeah. Kevin O'Connell's oldest son asked him the same thing. He said, how does Coach McVay's hair not move even when it's wet? I'll never tell, Rich. I'll never tell.
All right, secret to the trade. You could tell me. It's not like I'm going to use it. You know what I mean? Like,
see, if I could pull that off, though, I'd just go the easy route and shave the head, too. You've been doing that at a high clip for a long time,
high clip.
My friend.
You're the best, Sean. Thanks for the time. I appreciate you spending time of your bye week, your off time with me, man. I appreciate it.
No, hey, Thanks for having me on. It was good catching up with you in the production meeting, too.
Thanks, pal. Right back at you. And enjoy the birthday. Enjoy the birthday with your wife and everybody else.
Will do. Appreciate you, man.
You got that Sean McVay. We now know what he's going to be doing on his off weekend.
Love it.
The best dad ever. He's coming for the crown.
Two-year-old. That's a fun birthday.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. Secrets. He won't tell us. It's not like, I'm not going to do anything. Like,
what are we going to do with
that? Was he kind enough to say that I'm shaving my hair? Like, that this is...
He made it seem like...
This is a choice?
It's a choice.
Yeah. I don't want to... I don't like correcting my guests in real time.
Understood.
All right. Fantastic. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Not only does Progressive let you bundle your insurance, they also give you round-the-clock protection, kind of like Sean McVay's hair gel. Quote today at progressive.com. That's great, man. I just love the insight with him and Stafford. By the way, a trick play, when it happens, I'll let you know if he texts me that's the one from Wembley. Can you imagine they win a game and it's a play that they pull out of the hat because McVay basically said, choose up a trick play. He comes up with one on the spot in Wembley and they put it in the playbook and they win a game with it. Can you imagine that happens?
I imagine it will happen.
Oh, my God. Awesome. Tom Papa is here. Let's bring him out. Let's have some fun with the comedian Tom Papa when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tom Papa is here. Breaking Bread Collection. You have partnered with Nambe on an all-new Breaking Bread Collection, launched online and in stores the first of this month. You got your Breaking Bread with Tom Papa podcast and your Grateful Bread Tour.
Yeah.
You love your bread.
I'm a big bread baker.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's been a huge part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
During this football season, I'm baking more than watching. And Nambe, this beautiful company, came to me and wanted to do these bread tools.
Okay.
Like cutting boards and knives and flour containers and all this beautiful stuff. And they make amazing stuff. And I'm like a monster. I just need stuff that works. Mm-hmm. So we had this collab, and for a year we designed it, and it just came out. It's very fancy. And I'm the Martha Stewart of comedy now. People really know me for bread. I was I think more than comedy at this point.
Yes.
I was on a flight recently on American Airlines, and the flight attendant came up to me, and he said, good morning, Tom. I was like, oh, he knows me from stand-up. And he said, I just want to apologize. The bread on this flight is horrible.
Oh, oh man. Wow.
I was like, all right, I'm a bread guy now. Oh, I'm a bread guy.
Listen, that's not a bad thing to be.
No, I know.
But now, so flight attendants are apologizing in advance of the type of bread that they're about to serve you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think people board a plane thinking, I'm going to have some great bread on this flight. Like, ever.
I would fly Delta, but Americans got the bread.
Is there any airline that's known for its quality bread food
stuff?
Yeah,
good point.
Like, usually, I'll be honest, if I'm on a plane and I get an offer of a pretzel bread, I'm thinking this is the life.
I know. Yeah. You get really happy.
Because otherwise, it's usually something that's oval, right?
They just call and it the things it's supposed, like the bread terms, but not, it doesn't, like a croissant. They're like, do you want a croissant?
Oh,
and it's like, you mean that ball?
Honestly, like, I think the National Hockey League could use some of the bread that I've been served on these flights.
Exactly. Hard as a rock.
But that's nice that they consider that it's respectful of you and your love for bread.
It is nice. There's nothing better than filling the house with fresh baked bread smells. And my podcast, you know, Breaking Bread, I pass out. I make, like, I had Judd Apatow on yesterday and bake him a bread.
Yes.
He comes, you should come on it.
I would love
to. And I give you the bread. And it's just a warm, the expression of that is really pretty magical.
What is Judd Apatow's choice of bread? What is that?
He gets what I give him.
Damn straight he
which
does.
Which is sourdough. I gave him sourdough. And then,
I'm not a big sourdough guy.
Well,
what does that
sourdough
say about
is
me?
The process.
What does
that mean? It means the yeast is this organic living yeast, like you've heard of a sourdough starter. and it doesn't have to come out as sour.
Yes.
It could be like a country loaf, or it could be rye. Or, but that's like sourdough is the, you know.
Do you get requests from your podcast viewers and listeners?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the most requested bread you've ever had?
You know, the big one is this olive bread. I'm pretty known for this olive bread. It's green olives, Kalamata olives, lemon zest, and herbs de Provence. And it's a killer.
Again, I'm just not an olive guy either.
How about jalapeno cheddar?
Oh my God, absolutely not.
Fine. What? Wow. No.
No way.
Wow. What do you eat? You don't eat bread. You don't eat olives.
I eat bread, sir. but you know, have you done a challah?
Yes, I can do challah.
Have you hollered at a brother?
I've got a pretty good challah.
Oh, you do?
For an Italian American, it's a pretty good challah.
Well, we're pretty close anyway.
Yeah.
The Jews and the Italians aren't too far off.
Very
from each
close.
Other.
Yeah, very close. Like, but I don't have like that grandmotherly. Like, I'm not aspiring to get what my grandmother made me, you know.
Oh well, that's one way. Another way is we love food.
Yes.
And we've got bossy mothers.
Bossy mothers.
You know,
yeah,
with
exactly.
All due respect to mine, I yes. don't think she's out there watching.
The most loving people Plus in the world, right, but also the most judgmental. Subtly judgmental.
Did you have a passive aggressive mother who was judgmental?
No, my mother's an angel.
Tom Papa here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Grateful Bread Tour, upcoming dates and tickets at tompapa.com. Oklahoma City, where they just had a big night last night with the Thunder tipping things off. Going through the state of Texas, San Antonio and Austin. Get your tickets right now.
This weekend.
You shared, and so who's your opener? Who's your opener on this tour?
One of my openers is Paul Morrissey.
Okay.
Great comedian, mm-hmm. and I've been working with him for years, and I saw him yesterday.
Okay.
And he told me that he's 1 degree from you.
Okay, and this blows my mind.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can bring it up, but...
Well, I think we have it, sure.
But he took your spot up in Northern California when you were a young broadcaster. When you took off to go to ESPN, Paul came in and took your job, took your spot.
So my door opening led to his entering the business at KRCR-TV, Spirit of the North State, as it's known in Reading and Cheek. Look at that.
And he said you were very funny. He said you were like, you had the same energy, and everybody knew you were going on to do something. And then you made a jump, like, from this station, right? Right
from that station, right to ESPN. I did not pass go. I went straight.
That is
amazing. Straight there.
People knew.
Yeah, man.
People knew.
Oh, look at that lid I have right there. So Paul did stand up off of this.
So then, he became a broadcaster, and then and he would make them kind of funny. Apparently, your station up there was, you know, you had your own. Like equipment and
we did, yes, right? And our own fleet of white Ford Escorts. That's how I, with the station emblazoned on the logo emblazoned on the side, so you knew who was on the scene. And to be honest, that's how I got the job.
Right,
is the guy that they wanted instead of me was like the number three anchor at the CBS affiliate in Chico, which is home of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And that guy had two outstanding speeding tickets and was deemed uninsurable for the White Ford Escorts fleet by the station's insurance company. I had a clean driving record. So when folks ask, you know, how do you get started in the business? I'm like, well, first things first.
It's so funny.
Stop at red lights. Maintain this proper speed limit because you never know how that might come back to bite you.
That happened to me as a stand-up. When I was trying to get gigs as I was first starting, you get the list of the comedy clubs and you try and give them your credits and you're like, I opened for Jay Leno once or whatever, and no one cared, but I realized they cared if you could drive yourself and the headliner to the gig.
And that's a benefit.
I was like, then all I was saying to people was, I have a car. I have a car and I can drive the headliner. And I started booking.
Just because you had a car.
Same thing as you,
how
right?
About
same
that's
thing
how as you get your start.
Yeah.
You never know.
Exactly.
And you know, you showed me that photograph in the green room on your phone. And you just, you know, popped your phone out recently at, you know, at the top of this interview as well. I couldn't help but notice. I would say it's difficult to look at somebody wearing a Viking hat as you're wearing and call them a non-risk taker, but you're clearly a risk taker. Can you take your phone out right now? Would you mind?
I can.
Gents and ladies who are watching at home. No. You don't have a protector on it.
No. No case. I've never had a case. Look how beautiful this is.
But
no case.
Why would you have a case? This is gorgeous.
It's got, because you're, I mean, this is without a net.
Is your screen intact?
It is.
I've never dropped it. I've never had an iPhone case. And I've never, you know why?
Why?
When you don't have a case, you care for it. You can't. I'm when I get out of a car, where's the phone? Like I'm very.
I'm the same way.
I jump. I get on the subway. I know where the phone is. I care for it.
Tom, they make clear ones now, so you can get a clear.
I'm not a child. I'm not a baby. I don't have to.
Wearing a Viking hat right now.
I am a grown man. I am an adult. I make adult choices, and I have a phone with no case. And now I'm going to probably drop it in the sewer.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. I'm really putting the whammy on it.
You could be on your phone and then somebody just bumps you on the subway. Never. And then all of a sudden you're out of luck.
I have it in that grip. I'm like a baby. I'm like, I'm holding it.
Yeah.
I know.
You're like what, G.I. Joe with that kung fu grip. Right?
That's
when we were kids, man.
Oh my God. Exactly.
You got the kung fu grip. You
panic when I handed it to him. He was like, what's the matter?
That's the first thing I said to you after you showed me that photograph. First of all, I'm like, wow, what a small world.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I'm like, you are flying without a, you're operating.
What's more surprising, my phone without a case?
Yes.
Or that picture of you with a full head of hair?
It's jarring. Like, I just put it this way. That photograph is more jarring than you not having a case on your phone.
But a beautiful man, a beautiful young man.
I'm nervous sitting here with you just holding it up like that.
But you care for you. Really, you try it. Huh. Take it off. Take that clear piece of garbage off your phone.
Okay.
And just walk through your day.
All right.
And you will. You will
break it.
You will treat it with respect that it deserves.
I'm just going to take. I'm just going to see how it feels for a second.
Here's the thing. I'm going to Disneyland today, Tom.
You're going to Disneyland?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Right after the show.
Okay.
My mom's still here. One more day. We're going. What am I going to have? No case at Disneyland?
Yeah, you can't do that.
No case.
Can't do it.
What is like?
Could you're not the child running around. It's a small world. You're the grown up. You get into that boat and you hold it. You know where
boat.
It is.
You get in that boat.
And how about this nice in and out of your pockets, slibbity slibity. There's no grab.
Weird holding
it
with
case.
Weird,
but no case.
There's no weird hairs on your case.
Slibbity boo right there. Yeah. So you should try it.
Go
to Disney, like go to Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah.
Okay, go on that with your son.
And just
go on
that with
cage
just, and
without that, take an entire video.
A no case video.
No case video on your phone on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which you know can be wild.
Yes.
That makes it the wildest ride Mr. Toad's ever done.
No, I can't do it.
It's his wildest ride.
It's his wild, Mr. Toad's wildest ride.
It's his wildest ride. His other ones were not as wild.
TJ, you're like nervous even over there.
Well, you know, here's the deal, right? You could put a $60, $50 case on your phone, right?
Yes, yeah.
You don't have a case and you drop your phone. Now you're looking at $11, $1,200 for a new phone. So
don't drop the phone.
But Tom, some things can happen,
yes.
Tom.
Don't fumble, I guess.
Could you go to, if you do this right and
yeah.
then you break your phone and then you go and they say at AppleCare, sorry, you just didn't have your phone protector on, so
you didn't have your case.
We didn't like, and like you're at the non-genius bar, you go to the dumbasses down the way,
the dingbat bar,
the dingbat bar. We're workshopping
go to
here.
The dingbat bar.
It's freaking me out.
It's such a beautiful thing. It's so pretty, it's so nice, and it slides right into your pocket.
I'm so alone in this. Is yours black? It's just black. There's nothing pretty.
There's
like,
nothing
if we got a color, then sure,
there's
I guess.
There's nothing pretty.
Well, you know, I love all you guys, but grow up.
With his hat.
It's so funny.
How do you feel
yes.
about, well, I know how you feel, but I'll ask it anyway.
Sure.
You know, I really am hurting as a Giants fan,
yes,
and it's been brutal. But, and ever since Hard Knocks, when they sent Saquon, I was just like, it's just been brutal.
Yes.
But you really believe you just have to suffer. You don't go to another team.
Jackson Dart is the real thing, I think.
He's the real deal.
You could just see he's got some it to him. You can see that he's got some swagger and that the rest of the building kind of feeds off it.
Yeah, they love him.
Scataboo is another one, too.
Yeah,
the two of them are like Tango and Cash walking around the National Football League right now and just swinging it out there. I think you're in the right. And I know this is an unpopular opinion. I like your coach.
You really?
I do. I do.
What do you like about him?
I just.
His bad decisions?
Just ask Josh Allen. Josh Allen loved him.
And
he brought him along. He was on the sideline in Alabama when Hurts and Tua were there. He's got some experience in bringing someone along. He did win Coach of the Year with Daniel Jones. And then it all went to hell.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of think you're in good shape. Don't you know.
So just.
I would say figuratively hold on your hats.
Right.
Just not literally this one that's on your head right now,
Tom. All right.
That's what I'm.
I mean, I don't
feel.
Feel better? I don't feel great in this hat.
Okay.
But thank you for letting me try it.
No, thank you for coming on with it. I appreciate the stop by for sure. Breaking Bread with Tom Papa podcast. What a joke with Papa and Fortune as well. That's on the your Netflix radio show on Sirius XM channel 93.
Yep.
You're doing a lot.
And then
man.
Go to nambe.com and you can buy some bread tools for your loved ones for the holidays.
Hey, so basically if somebody says throughout the year, you know what I'd like for the holidays? I'd like a whisk.
Yep, got it.
This is it, right?
I got it.
I want a serrated knife.
Got it.
Okay. I want a wood utensil with a canister.
Got it.
A premium cutting board.
Beautiful flower.
A premium cutting board. Do we have that?
Got it. That removes the top and all the crumbs. It's slotted so the crumbs go underneath.
And then this may be the toughest question I've asked. Do you have measuring spoons?
Oh, do I have measuring spoons? And they're made of wood. They're made of acacia wood.
Dude.
There's nothing more satisfying than pouring salt in this little wooden measuring spoon.
So highfalutin.
I know. I'm very fancy. Very earthy. I'm the Martha Stewart of comedy. This is what happens. When your team sucks, you spend a lot of time in the kitchen.
This man has a whisk. Just back off. Back off.
Take your phone. Take your cover off your phone and live a little, people. We only have one life. Get out there. Be bold.
An inspiring message from Tom Papa, everybody. Good to see you, man. Come back, and you're right back at you. Come back anytime.
Okay.
These guys are a little disappointed you didn't bring bread.
Well, yeah, last time I think you brought a couple loaves. Yeah.
I did.
You know, we were looking forward to some bread today. That's all.
You were looking. Well, I know. My tour has been killing me.
Understood.
So I was only home for a short amount.
The Giants have been killing him too.
Yeah, I will come by. We don't even have to make a big appearance. I'll just come by and wave from over there.
Cut him some slack. You know what the Giants are doing right now? They're proofing. See, I'm trying to talk your language right now. You know?
They're stale and moldy.
It's getting larger. They're covered with plastic. It's getting larger and it's getting ready to bake.
I respect you for putting the bread terms into it. But they're like a smelly crouton right now.
Oh no.
Go Vikings.
Ladies, no, you don't mean it.
I don't. I don't have it in me.
Tom Pop, everybody, here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be back to wrap up the show in a second.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Sonos. I love Sonos. I use it in my house. We watch games, and it sounds like we're at the stadium. We listen to music. Sounds like we're at a concert. Studio quality sound makes you feel like you're right in the action, whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, listening to the hottest songs. Sonos fills every room that you put it in with incredible sound, and it's so easy to set up. Just plug it in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Explore sound bars, speakers, and so much more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. Nick in Melbourne, Florida wants to chime in. What's up, Nick?
Rich, what's going on, sir? How you doing today?
How are you, pal? What's going on?
So I just wanted to ask you real quick. I know you got a little off topic here. I know you got a history with ESPN. I know you're now back in the ESPN family.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Today, the 22nd, is the 24-year anniversary of the first episode of Pardon the Interruption airing.
No kidding.
Oh, wow.
Really? Almost a quarter century.
I wanted to hear, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes.
I wanted to hear your thoughts and maybe see if you had any cool stories about Will Bond and Tony and what they've done for sports media and sports journalism, that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appeared on the show. They were the first to have me on after I left ESPN. And you know how they have those faces and the heads behind them? They stuck me in the wall of faces just so you saw all the faces, the cardboard cutouts, and then my real head was there, and it was fantastic. And then they had me hold up the copy of my book that I was selling in 2007. So it was 4 years removed from ESPN. They were the first to just say, screw it, we'll put you back on.
That's pretty cool.
And I love them both. Tony is just he's like the Larry David of sports. Yeah. and no question. And Wilbon is awesome. And the reason why that show works is because it's two friends, you know, talking about sports with each other. And just, you know, Eric Rydholm and the rest of the producers are just top notch. And I had no idea. 24 years. Wow. Congratulations to them. That's awesome. And then on the same day that Inside the NBA comes to ESPN, which I'm very excited about. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Pretty
it's
cool.
Really awesome. It's just, I'm a big fan of theirs. I watch their show every day. I was a little,
for good reason.
Earlier this year, I was a little concerned when Around the Horn got hooked. I was concerned that PTI was going to go with them, but those guys are the goats. Genuinely, I watch their show every single day.
Thanks for
your insight, Rich.
Thanks for bringing it up. Nick in Melbourne, Florida. That's happy cool. anniversary thanks, to our friends at PTI. Ooh. Yeah, for a while, to get in touch with Tony, you had to leave a message on his voicemail at the Washington Post. Pretty good. Yeah. They broke the mold with Mr. Tony.
Pretty good.
So, listen, if you're new to these parts, we're groundbreaking here. Yeah. People reach out to us for consulting. RES Consulting, we talk about it. You got the drop. Russell Wilson, once upon a time.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
Yeah, so people come to us and for various reasons. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we consult on is when there's a player coming back from injury. Remember the ankle watch with Mahomes?
Oh, yeah.
When he would walk up and down the one-step mm-hmm. riser of the podium. For the Super Bowl, we were looking at everything.
Trey Lance, we did a Joe Burrow watch. So
people are reaching out to us, and by people, I think it's just Hoskins.
No, they're people.
Okay.
They're other people. Yeah, people in our DMs.
I mean, Lamar's back at practice. I said that he was juggling. Yep. We have juggling. So are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Are you ready?
News?
Are you ready?
Oh, it's Lamar.
Hamstring watch. Roll it. Here's the video. Oh, there he is.
With the ball there.
Oh, he's throwing it, and he's jogging.
Doesn't look to be any giddy up in his step.
He's throwing again. And he's jogging onto the field.
I see no visible limp.
Nope, I don't see it.
Nope.
He's good. I don't see he's throwing it. He's just throwing
nice
on the run.
Nice trot.
Is he a little too upright? A
little too upright for me.
Well, I mean, there's no one now around. He's just trying to make his way down the field. That's all.
Did you see how he ramped down?
Kind of on his toes a little bit.
Yeah. All right, let's look at that one more time. Can you re-rack that?
A little upright.
All right, here we go.
What's that mean?
He's running onto the field.
Like
he's throwing it.
Kind of just
he's back. What's with the left arm there?
He
had another ball underneath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Everybody back off.
All right.
It's part of the consulting. We just got to read and react.
Okay.
I don't know.
And then it's just a little.
He's ready. He's ready for
trying to show off that he's a little bit loose.
Oh, he's good.
Okay, now they ramp down.
Now look, now he's walking, no limp.
Okay, yeah. And look, and the guy in the hat was inspired. He started slow jogging too.
Okay.
That's leadership. He's back. Digging out of 1-5,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's back.
To where?
The playoffs.
Yeah. You think the Ravens are making the playoffs?
If Lamar Jackson comes back, they have an absolute shot.
No. Do you think they're making the playoffs?
Oh, he's getting fired.
Am I making my call right now?
Yeah.
Am I going to get aggregated off of this?
I hope so.
So what?
Rich, don't answer that question until we know for a fact he's back on Sunday. Otherwise.
Yeah, we hold.
Yeah, I'm going to hold in advance.
Oh, yes. So 1-6 is different than 1-5.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
It's huge.
I've got the numbers to back that up. Yeah. If you go 1-6, you have a 0% chance of making the playoffs.
You booty out. Right
0-91 since 1990.
Wow.
2-5, 6.3% chance.
So you're saying?
It's more than dumb and dumber. I'm saying.
There's a chance.
Well, let's hold off, guys.
I'm with you on that.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's our consulting reputation.
That's
is on
the thing
line.
About RES Consulting. So we don't make rash decisions here, right?
The best thing about us is that it's about us, and we're also take our
Look
time.
Look at that suit. I want that maroon suit.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.